When it comes to announcing the status of federal buildings during snowstorms or hurricanes, the more simple the announcement, the better. That's the new approach of the Office of Personnel Management. At least that's what it thinks it's taking. OPM's change in course comes after federal employees, contractors, and even the general public were confused over the language OPM used during last month's hurricane. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller is here with details on the change and why OPM hopes it's going to make your life a little easier. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so what is the new language OPM is going to use when the government is closed, and how do they hope it's going to clear up confusion?
Well, OPM hopes the language will be clear on the first guidance. And in fact, I'm just going to repeat it to you guys as OPM stated it yesterday during a press conference at their headquarters in Washington. It says, federal offices are closed. Emergency and telework-ready employees must follow their agency's policies. Very straightforward, very simple. That's what federal employees will hear next time we get that foot of snow or that hurricane or in the D.C. area, as we all know, that inch and a half of snow that makes everyone panic for their bread and milk. But as we first reported last month, this change was something that was coming, and Jerry McWitz is OPM's Deputy Associate Director for Pay and Leave Policy.
The old OPM announcement used to say federal offices are closed to the public. We found when the hurricane happened, maybe people were thinking in a snow mode, because that's when usually we use these announcements, and weren't sure what to do. But we also found that non-federal institutions follow OPM's announcements, and when they heard federal offices are closed to the public, some of them thought, well, federal employees are still coming in, but you can't go visit for a Social Security check or for an IRS matter.
Now, he says the old language had been in place for about a year, but because last winter was so mild, OPM actually never ended up using it. And even with the derecho earlier this summer, the outages were only in parts of the area, but not the entire area. So what you heard from OPM a lot was unscheduled telework or unscheduled leave, and that only certain buildings were closed based on the power outages and things like that nature or flooding. So OPM never got a chance to test out that closed to the public, and when they did finally get to do it, that's where that confusion came in, and that's what's the major changes this year to OPM's procedures. Now, McWitz says the change comes as part of a constant review of procedures and post-storm reviews. He says about 15 agencies took part in this review effort.
We find that not only do we make some major changes, but we also make what I'm going to call tweaks every year to try to get the message to be better. Like unscheduled telework, the first time we used that, people didn't really know what that meant, and there are other types of telework like situational or regular telework and things like that. So part of it is getting used to the new vocabulary, the new way of doing it. Now, after we worked with the agencies and got a basic agreement, then we briefed the unions. Dean works with the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. And then we also clear it through OPM. And we have various offices of communications point of view, from a legal point of view, from a personnel policy point of view.
So that's Jerry McWitz. He's the director of personnel and policy. Now, what he was saying there is when they make those changes, the changes include kind of that whole of government approach. They talk to Amtrak. They talk to the VRE people. They go really across the board to try to make sure that the changes are inclusive and everyone, and specifically the Chico Council, really understands what the new language says.
Now, Jason, I was looking at the press release this morning that came out from OPM, complete with a wonderful video with John Berry. He's quite the caster there. And there was a whole list of bullet points of different statuses. And so tell us what some of the other significant changes are.
I think there are two other ones that I think are worth highlighting. And in fact, OPM actually made one of them during last January's ice storm.
We found that the announcements we had last year didn't actually fit the situation. And as Dean mentioned, we created a delayed arrival with a single opening time for federal offices. And so if we had an open delayed arrival, employees should remain off the roads until, let's say, 9 o'clock. Federal offices will open at, let's say, 11 o'clock, and employees would also have the option for unscheduled leave or unscheduled telework. And what we emphasize to employees here is to arrive at the office by 11 o'clock. So some people will live farther and will start their commute no earlier than 9 o'clock, but some people might live closer and can start a little later as long as they're here.
Now, that's OPM's Jerry McWitz. He also says the goal is for this specific type of announcement is to tell employees how long really to stay off the road. That's going to give road crews an opportunity to clear the snow, put sand and salt down, or for the temperatures to rise enough to make sure it's safe for employees to drive, or for Metro trains to drive on the rails. It's basically OPM found that saying, hey, come in 2 hours late meant something different to everyone. And you know, if you normally get in the office at 6:30, getting in at 8:30, the road still may not be safe till after 9 or after 9:30. So that didn't really help the situation. You still were basically putting employees that were putting themselves in a dangerous situation. I think the second change is for federal employees actually outside of the Washington, D.C. area. Now, this isn't major, but I think there's, again, some confusion, OPM says, about who makes the call for closures or early dismissals for places like Boston or Philly or Seattle or San Francisco, places, you know, anywhere there's obviously a lot of large contingent of federal employees. OPM basically is reiterating that decision belongs to the head of the agency or in that metro area or that city. And obviously, if there's a federal executive board in that city, they still will make recommendations. But in the end, the head of that federal agency makes the final call. Beyond these three changes, OPM was going to continue the same process to make the decision on closure no later than 4 o'clock in the morning. They're going to work, again, with local governments, Amtrak, MARC, VRE, Metro, other stakeholders.
All right. We're speaking with Federal News Radio's executive editor, Jason Miller. So how is OPM using these changes to this whole closure and dismissal policy? How's that tying in with telework, something else they're trying to boost in the federal workforce?
Well, I think that's the one big hole that Hurricane Sandy showed. Well, not one, but many big holes. But that was one area where OPM looked at and said, we had all these people who were able to telework but didn't have telework agreements in place. So what OPM is encouraging agencies to do is to say, listen, if you are telework eligible, whether you do it once a month or once a week or only on unscheduled times, you should have a telework agreement in place. And during these times of weather or man-made emergency, if you're able to, if you have power, you should be able to telework. So Mikowicz says some employees worked during the hurricane despite not having a formal agreement in place. He also says OPM's looking at the different teleworkers and really breaks them down into three different types. One, that are scheduled to telework, and they were supposed to telework when the government is closed. So those are kind of your more typical teleworkers. The second group is of workers who, no matter if the government is open or closed, they should be teleworking. It's in their agreement that when the government is closed, they should be working. Essential personnel, basically. The third group is those who are telework ready but don't have that agreement in place, but that requires them to work. And Mikowicz says that's what OPM wants to get toward. Now, he says OPM will do four things to encourage agencies to get their employees who are eligible to telework.
We're modifying our guidance, expanding it to indicate that our goal is to have all telework-ready employees telework. People used to think, well, only essential function or non-essential or emergency and non-emergency. Second, telework is voluntary. So how do we make happen what I just said, that all telework-ready employees should work? Well, it's a voluntary agreement, but employees and agencies have to look at both sides of the agreement. An employee can meet personal needs throughout the year. When there are days of unscheduled telework, but the government is not closed, an employee could choose to work. In return, the government is asking those same employees that when we're closed, that you will work. You know, why? Because you can. You are equipped. Your home is your workplace, and it's safe to work there, and assuming you have power.
Now, the third thing OPM will do is encourage employees to practice telework. They, you know, it's one of those things where you need to remember how to log on to your virtual private network, your VPN, pull documents down, things like that. And then finally, OPM is going to ask agencies to look at all those telework agreements again and ensure agencies can telework as possible, meaning they have the agreements, and the agreement says they are expected to be teleworking when the government is closed. OMB estimates about one-third of all federal employees can telework at any one time.
All right, so there's one question that they didn't seem to answer, or maybe you can answer if they did. How much snow are we going to expect this winter, Jason?
Well, they did have someone there from the National Weather Service, and he says that we're going to have a normal winter, a normal Washington, D.C. winter. So that means about 15 to 20 inches of total snow through the entire winter. Now, he says it could be we have a big storm. It could be we have a small storm, a bunch of small storms. They don't really know yet, but he says there's no really El Nino effect or La Nina effect that's really affecting the Washington, D.C. area. So as last year we had a very mild winter, this year will be more typical, meaning OPM will get a chance to test out this new policy at least a couple times.